Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 4. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was Principles of Sports Nutrition Number 13, Cardiovascular Health. Cardio refers to the heart and vascular refers to the blood vessels. The function and health of the heart is critical to the enjoyment of sport and athletics. Lifelong athletic performance and enjoyment depends on it. When I was young, I was warned by my mentor and teacher, Dr. Pavel Arola, that because my grandfather had died of heart disease, and I was kind of following in his footsteps, at least in terms of nutrition, that I probably wouldn't make it long enough, at least to the point where I wanted to be, if I were to continue in that vein. So I changed the diet, and the rest is history. Now, large numbers of bodybuilders and strength athletes often neglect their cardiovascular health by not performing any aerobic training or conditioning. Lifting weights is fantastic and necessary to create an anabolic flux, to preserve and build muscle for sure. But without a good set of lungs and a strong, healthy heart, we are likely setting ourselves up for disaster. It appears that high-intensity sprint training is the best approach for most of us. Several brief anaerobic bursts of 30 seconds to 1 minute on the treadmill, life cycle stepper, or elliptical are sufficient to enhance VO2 max and provide a highly functional aerobic capacity. The intensity should be at least 75% of your maximum capacity. So you've got to put some energy into these bursts, this high-intensity style of training, just for a short time, though. The idea is to keep the distance between your maximum heart rate and resting pulse rate as high or as wide as possible as we age. Remember that heart rate variability, or HRV, is one of the best predictors of all-cause mortality. So high maximum heart rate, and low resting pulse rate. On this segment of Clinical Review, my topic is pre- and post-workout nutrition, what to eat prior to and after a workout. And of course, here's where the rubber hits the road. So this is really what sports nutrition is all about, how to nourish a physically active body in motion. Nourishment for brain, organ, and tissue fuel, and nourishment for recovery and growth. That's what sports nutrition is all about, but it's done with high-quality food and dietary supplements, a consciousness of wellness. Remember that sports nutrition is an art and a science. The art consists of nourishing an active body with high-quality food and dietary supplements in a skillful, safe, and consistent manner. This pertains not only to what we eat, but also when. The science of sports nutrition helps all of us to understand the how and the why. Through observation, research, and repeated experiment, experts in the field investigate the effect of controlled exercise, food, and supplements on the health, recovery, and performance of athletes like you and I. To be successful in the world of sport, fitness, and health, and to remain well and injury-free, one must apply the art as a derivative of sound science. So the things that we do, We prepare our food, we cook our food, we get our food. All that, that's the art in motion. The science tells us what food to buy and how to cook it. That's the part that we need that's missing in a lot of people's lives. This is the essence of the natural health food and fitness movement. The art and science combined, both are inseparable and equally essential. Now let's talk about the CHI Prime Directive, because these are the things that you need to know when it comes to knowing what to eat before and after workout. It's based on principle, fact, and scientific reason. The CHI Prime Directive demands that we provide the body with optimum quantities sufficient to supply its genetically unique biological demand. Prime means of the first importance or of the greatest relevance or significance. So that's a pretty important word, prime. Directive implies an authoritative instruction or specific order or command. So the command of logic is supply your biological demand. The CHI Prime Directive applies to vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and all the dietary nutrients we require to remain well and strong and vibrant, including protein, fat, and carbohydrates. Everything the body needs to survive and thrive, including air, water, food, and light, supply the demand. It's the economics of human nutrition. Sounds simple, but that's a tall order. Most of us don't really know what we need or how to get what we need. If mainstream did, there would be a lot less pain, drug addiction, obesity, and chronic disease. So now you know why I wrote the course. The purpose of the CSNA education program is to teach students how to supply their biological demand and what that actually means. Every one of us is unique, a biological snowflake. Because of this uniqueness or biochemical individuality, each one of us requires different quantities and ratios of both macronutrients and micronutrients to function at our best. In some cases, the dietary variation from one person or athlete to the next can be substantial. The principle of biochemical individuality dictates that the amount of food consumed by each person, as well as the percentage of fats, carbs, and protein represented by such food, be based first on inherent, essential, functional, and basal metabolic needs, and second, on supply-demand requirements specific to caloric expenditure and the effects of exercise training. The best diet, therefore, is one that conforms with biological specificity to each person's unique needs and requirements once identified. The diet should conform to the individual and not the other way around. This means that the total calorie or energy intake of food for one person may be dominated by carbs in terms of percentage, but not necessarily for the next. Another person might thrive better on a higher intake of protein and or fat and less carbs. It also means that the same individual can shift the percentage of macronutrients around to accommodate changes in activity, caloric expenditure, or training objectives. If you're an endurance runner and all of a sudden you stop running, you've got to reduce your carbs to compensate. Supply the demand. When the demand goes up or down, you just make the adjustments relative to that. Everyone's diet should be custom designed and tailor-made with health and performance in mind. It's easy to just follow the crowd and join hands in the assembly line where everyone eats the same. But if you want to rise above mediocrity, you have to get specific and focus on yourself as an individual and your personal biochemical needs. If everyone's eating wrong and you join the crowd, you're going to get in trouble. You might be allergic to wheat, which most people are, by the way, or dairy products, intolerant to the lectins in lentils, or thrive on a certain species of fish without even knowing it. So this forces people to give credence to food. They begin to think of food differently than just something they stuff in to satisfy their taste buds. Now, what goes up must come down. Let's talk about glycemic index and glycemic load, because this is relative to what you eat before and after training. To really understand how food influences our blood sugar, insulin levels, and energy, we need to know something about the glycemic index of different fruits, vegetables, and starchy foods. And yes, all foods have an impact on blood sugar, and these newer commercially generated, domesticated animal proteins, they apparently behave just like sugar does, because their arginine and lysine levels are distorted. They're behaving like sugar now and causing cholesterol and inflammation to occur by eating them. Now, this is important because a rapid rise in insulin, except after a workout, can ruin our body fat reducing objectives, increase serum cholesterol levels, encourage the onset of fatigue, intensify joint inflammation, and set us up for hyperinsulin anemia. That's high levels of insulin that are chronically elevated. Athletes need blood sugar stability. Of course, we all do. Mom and dad, kids, babies, everyone needs to be stable. Things like millet, manna bread, dates, white potatoes, ripe bananas, most breads, rice cakes, and white rice can cause a rapid rise and fall in blood sugar. So good, bad foods, healthy foods, refined foods, they can all affect blood sugar in a predictable way. Of course, nourishing whole fresh food is always better to eat for a lot of different reasons. But these high glycemic foods should be avoided before your workout, especially just before your workout, because you're going to end up with a high blood sugar and then it's going to crash. You're going to end up with insulin roaming around the blood, and that's going to impair how you utilize fat as a fuel source and burn it in the gym. So, of course, the refined food should never be eaten. Let's just stick with the whole food here. Pre-workout meals should consist of foods that have a low to medium glycemic index. The glycemic index, or GI as it's called, measures the extent to which blood glucose increases after eating a 50-gram portion of carbohydrate. This increase is then compared to glucose, which is given the value of 100. So glucose has a glycemic index of 100. That's as high as it gets. There's even some foods that apparently go beyond that, but that's kind of like the standard. Foods that lead to a slow increase in blood glucose after consuming them have a low glycemic index. They're broken down slowly, they're released slowly into blood, so there's less of an insulin rush. Those that induce a rapid rise in blood sugar have a high glycemic index. The higher the blood sugar levels after eating a certain food, the higher the glycemic index. And it doesn't work the same way in every body, so that's why I focused on biochemical individuality. And, of course, athletes that are very lean, that are spending a lot of energy and are eating a clean whole food diet, the glycemic nature of food is less of an issue for them than for those that are gravitationally challenged with a lot of excess body fat. The endomorphs who gain fat very easily with a slow metabolic rate, this is particularly important. And, of course, 80% of the population are endomorphs. They're not ectos. They're not naturally lean, burning energy like crazy, like a rocket ship. Okay, the CHI glycemic index rating is as follows. Foods that are rated low have a glycemic index of 40 or less, medium 40 to 60, and high 60 or higher. You can get on the internet and check out different charts and graphs. I've got some in the course, and there are extensive glycemic index charts on the internet. So you can pick up any food and just find out what the glycemic index of that food is. Now, prior to working out, it's best to consume low GI foods, as in 60 or lower, such as slow-cooked steel-cut oats, green apples, lentils, beans, cherries, and plums, or maybe a yam protein combination, for example. So you can take a yam, which is fairly high in glycemic index, and mix it with the protein, and the two of them even out, and they get broken down slowly. So you can combine foods also in the right way so that one high and one low kind of centers it out. Now, eating smaller meals more frequently is ideal because large meals tend to have a high glycemic load. So every food has a measurable glycemic index, and you can add up all the individual foods or bits and pieces of food that mix into, say, a salad. Say you can look at olive, which would be low, and you can look at tomatoes, which would be low to medium. You can add them all up, and you end up with a load, the impact of the entire meal. So when you have lunch or dinner, you can actually measure the impact of that total amount of food that you consume. That's called the glycemic load. So a slower rate of digestion helps maintain a steady stream of glucose throughout your workout, especially towards the end of exercise when muscle glycogen tends to run out. Remember, what you eat prior to exercise one time is less important than how you live and eat day in and day out. People ask me this all the time. What's the best thing to eat before I work out? And I find out they do not eat well behind what they're going to consume before they work out. And that has more of an impact on their workout performance than what they eat. You know, you can jack yourself up on caffeine or ephedrine before you work out, but the real value is in your life and how you live it. Our performance today is a reflection of everything we did or didn't do yesterday, as in hours, days, weeks, and months, working backwards in time. We're a product of how we live, eat, and train. Our thoughts and lifestyle definitely influence genetic expression. Okay, so shake and take, that's the key terminology. Let's become one with our blenders. Enter the Almighty Protein Shake. It's a lifesaver, and I will definitely be bringing my blender to Honolulu with me next week. Don't leave home without it. The protein shake should be the anchor of your diet. It's one of the best ways to sharpen your metabolic pencil and supply your biological demand. Add whey protein isolate, which is high in biological value. In fact, it's the highest known. That's one of the reasons why I use it. Those beautiful whey peptides are wonderful for the immune system. And mix it with some hemp protein concentrate if you like. That's what I like to do. We use the Vega protein. They have got a new protein mix. Brendan has put together a very nice formula. It's called Vega One All-in-One Nutritional Shake. We mix that with a nice quality whey protein isolate. And the actual whey protein isolate I'm using now, which I really like, is by GFR Health. A friend of mine makes it. And it's called Lean Fit Whey Isolate Protein Shake. Very good price, very good quality. So we mix those two into the shake. So now you've got your protein taken care of, and it's kind of pre-digested, it's reduced, there's very little energy required to break it down. Unlike a chunk of meat or chicken or fish, it takes hours to get the stuff down into a liquefied state so that you can begin to absorb it. So these protein powders are already in that state, which gives them an absolute edge. Now, in addition to the proteins, I always add a liquid sport oil rich in essential fatty acids, especially the omega-3s. Omega-3 rich is what I like to focus on because most of us don't get enough alpha-linolenic acid, that parent omega-3, plus the EPA and the DHA that are found in things like fish and wild game. But you can use a hemp or a flax or a chia seed mix or a chia seed oil. Udo's oil is very good. And then a mix of fresh and frozen fruit in filtered water. I don't use anything except filtered water to make my shakes. I like fresh papaya, by the way, and frozen berries. That's my carbohydrate source. They're nice and clean and rich in antioxidants. Add a variety of food supplement powders to the shakes, such as glutamine, ribose, calcium ascorbate, creatine, and spirulina. Like, power pack this thing, man, and get ready to do battle. When blended correctly in the right amounts and consumed at the right time, a custom-designed protein shake enhances immune function, improves insulin efficiency, increases your fat-burning capacity, improves performance and recovery, and encourages long-term participation in physical activity. A shake before and after training is what I call my workout sandwich. And any construction worker or kid will tell you that it's what's inside the sandwich that really counts. Don't underestimate what this technique can do for your health, performance, and body composition. I've been doing it for at least 2 decades, 20 continuous years, 2 to 4 shakes a day, and have no plans to ever stop. I love my shakes, as does Tracy and all our kids. We raise them on shakes. Even our grandkids today love their little mini shakes. There's no age limit. And I'm talking creatine, glutamine, ribose, the hemp seed oil, the protein powders. There's no age limit. Get that into your head, people. But do not feed your kids Golden Arch food or anything like that. Kentucky Fried Chicken, all that stuff will destroy them and ruin their insulin chemistry. I always have a shake before and after training. It's a rule or a law I follow because it works. I like things that work. And I like things that work reliably. They just keep on giving. When I take my shake, I also swallow a handful of antioxidants. I've got a vitamin pack. I add some botanical adaptogens, some enzymes, and essential nutrients. This method really works because it's practical. It's something that people can do. You know, it's one thing to tell someone what to do, but if they can't do it or find a way to make it real, they're not going to do it. So the workout is the anchor. That's how I kind of see it in my mind. My life revolves around the training, the physical work. If you don't move and catch the game, you don't eat. So you've got to move first to get the food that you're going to eat. So exercise comes first before nutrition, in your mind, mentally. There is no option other than doing that. That's what you train your mind to do. Think in terms of what exercise is essentially needed for. The workout's the anchor, and the shake before and after is the chain attached to the anchor that connects the anchor to the ship, which is us. We are the vessel. We're the ship on the sea of life. Prior to training in the morning, I shake and take about an hour before my workout. I wake up. I have a large glass of filtered water. I make a shake, and then I have a very strong black, sugar-free, dairy-free coffee, and I'm just raring to go. I've primed the pump, and I'm ready to attack the gym and lift those weights and throw some iron around. It's liquid rocket fuel, my shakes, and they're easy to digest and absorb. That's why I love them. I just feel good. I can really rock and roll on them. So by the time I'm actually pumping iron in the gym or throwing the hammer out in the field or playing hockey or going for a hike up a mountain or whatever, the energy and life-sustaining micronutrients, they're in my bloodstream and nourishing my cells. They're there when I need them, like a good friend. The net effect is added power and strength and confidence knowing that I have what it takes to perform well. So if you've done your due diligence and you've put together a customized shake with just the right amount of protein, carbs, and fats for your needs, for your body, for your metabolism, for your body type, it's going to work. The energy you put in is going to be literal energy that you get back, and it's very reliable. It's more reliable than any investment that I know. Training and nutrition, the best investment in the world. So don't run on empty. Don't go into battle with nothing inside of you. When you're finished playing your sport or a good workout, now it's time to load up again, but this time load up on high glycemic foods or add high glycemic fruits to your post-workout shake. That's when they're great to take because high glycemic foods help replete glycogen in the body better, and the faster you do that, the better. High glycemic carbs taken immediately after training restores hepatic glycogen required to fuel and protect the liver. So there's liver protection value when you do this. Here's one of my favorite post-workout snacks, a chunk of manna bread, one of my favorites, very high glycemic index. And then I take this with a shake blended with mangoes or melons, which are all high glycemic. And this is exceptional, high glycemic nutrition. And I can just feel it going inside and being absorbed. And then I'm going to recover quickly and be ready to do it again, maybe that afternoon or the next day for sure. So after a cycle or a workout in the gym, when your metabolic window is wide open and glycogen stores are depleted, indulge yourself with a delicious high glycemic smoothie blended with carbs and protein. Mix 50 to 100 grams of high glycemic carbs with up to 25% of your total daily requirement of high quality protein. Once again, this is a great time to add some creatine, ribose, glutamine, and calcium ascorbate, vitamin C, in powder forms to the shake. This approach will encourage glycogen restoration much faster than eating steak and eggs or a tuna salad sandwich. It will promote quick recovery, enhance the metabolic function of insulin, IGF-1, testosterone, and human growth hormone, and suppress cortisol activity, which protects our health engine, otherwise known as the big M, muscle. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Mary Lou Henner, American actress, producer, and author of 8 books on diet and health. "I always say centered food equals centered behavior."